Welcome to the Young and Ambitious podcast, a podcast for ambitious young people who want to master their mindset, launch a business, and make their dream life. I'm your host, Nika Molini. I am the positivity boss and Gen Z's personal growth coach. I help young people get clear on their goals and design a life they love through working on their mindset and implementing successful personal growth strategies. Let's get right into it. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Young and Ambitious podcast. Today, we have an exciting guest here with us, Neely O'Connor, who is a coach working with young people on anxiety and depression. So thank you so much for being here.
Hi, Nika. Thanks so much for having me.
Awesome. So let's get started with you just telling us a little bit more about yourself and what you do.
Sure. So I am currently an academic success coordinator, which is basically a fancy term for academic advisor at Colorado State University. So I do actually work with college students during the day as well. And in addition to that, I am a mental health advocate. So how I got into this was that I have struggled with anxiety and depression clinically for over 15 years myself. I still do. So throughout high school and my undergraduate college education, depression was just my beast. It was just right beside me all the time. I felt like I had this weight sitting on my chest that was just heavy, and like my sadness was just bigger and heavier and darker than everyone else's around me when I looked around. And it was just this underlying current where it just wouldn't go away. And then when I got into graduate school, my depression kind of went to the next level. I didn't think it could be any worse, and it got worse. And it was at that point that I realized, oh, I think I've had anxiety my whole life too, but now it's through the roof, to the point where I had trouble leaving the house to go to the grocery store or the movies. It was crippling. And I frankly just thought something was wrong with me. I wasn't good enough. I was never going to feel like I was whole. I was never going to feel good again. And so I really ran the gamut of anything you could possibly think of to try to make this better. And it was at first was things that I could do on my own, like reading self-help books. I was and still am obsessed with self-help books, practicing yoga, reciting affirmations. And then as I went on, I started opening myself up to getting help in different ways, like connecting further with my community, actually accepting and going to therapy, accepting that I need to get on medication, and kind of surrounding myself with tools from all angles, from a holistic perspective. And that really led me to have an improved state of being and just a greater sense of self-love and acceptance of myself. And so I definitely still struggle, and sometimes it's daily, and sometimes there's spaces of reprieve that are longer. But I feel like at this point, my baseline of good is higher. And when I am in a funk, I know how to get in a higher vibration faster.
Right. And what have been like some of the keys for you in making that shift to really be able to deal with anxiety and depression? Like, what are some of your favorite techniques?
Yeah, for sure. So I thought about this a little bit before we hopped on the podcast, because I wanted to make sure I really gave some of my best ideas. So I have some specifically for anxiety, some for depression, and then some that kind of deal with both. I feel like for me, a big issue, especially with my anxiety, was feeling like I was out of control and like I was just spiraling and there was just no end to the spiral. And so really thinking about what can I control, what is in my zone of control, helped me to sort of taper that anxiety feeling down. So thinking about what can you control. So, okay, I can control my actions. I can control my reactions. I know you can't always, but a lot of times you can control your environment. There's more specific things, like I can control what I put into my body. I can control who I surround myself with. So when we sit down and think about it, there is a lot that is within our control. And if we focus on those things and focus on acting out of that place instead of out of what we can't control, that fear kind of recedes. With depression, one of the worst things that I know I did for myself was staying in the same environment and expecting things to change. So I think they say that the definition of crazy or something is continuously doing the same thing and expecting something to change, right? So it's totally the same thing with depression. If you want something to change, you have to choose to change your surroundings. So if you haven't got out of bed in days and you're still in your sweatpants and your hair is matted because you haven't taken a shower, you have to force yourself to get up, take that shower, and as trivial as it sounds, put on a cute outfit, do your hair, put on your makeup, like fake it till you make it hard, because it is going to make you feel better. And then even more so than that, get out of the house. Surround yourself with people, even if you don't feel like you want to be around them right now, because the first thing you're going to want to do, I know from my personal experience, is to isolate yourself. You are not going to want to be around anyone, and that is just going to cause you to go deeper and deeper into that depression and never leave it. So you've got to force yourself to get out of that house. And then a couple things that I think are great for whether you are depressed or anxious is getting into your physical body. So whether you're depressed or anxious, you're not really living in the present moment, right? So if you're depressed, you're dwelling in the past. And if you're anxious, you're looking ahead to the future. So you're tipping towards one side of the scale or the other. And when we are in the present, we feel aligned because that's like the center of the scale, right? The scale's even. So thinking about what can I do that will force me to be in the present moment. So for me, that's always been getting into my physical body. And a lot of people know that exercising can help with anxiety and depression. And this is one of the reasons why, but it doesn't have to be exercising. It could be just taking off your shoes and putting your bare feet in the grass or the sand, like igniting that touch aspect. It could be becoming more aware of all five of your physical senses. And sort of calling those things into play. So anything that's bringing you back into the present moment by waking up your physical body. And then my number one tip is definitely to have compassion for yourself. And I think this is the hardest thing to do, and it takes a lot of practice. And I still practice it. You're never going to just always be able to do this, so don't feel bad if you can't. You're going to have to practice it, but you know, think about the fact that you're probably making yourself feel bad on top of having anxiety and depression. That's the worst thing you can do for yourself. So just remembering that it's okay not to be okay. The best thing you can do for yourself is to tell yourself, whether it's in your head, I prefer out loud if you can, that where you're at right now is okay. Even if you're not okay, it's okay. It's okay to feel what you're feeling. You can let yourself feel those emotions. You can let it out if you need to cry. You can let it out if you need to scream, and that you're safe. You are going to be safe, and this moment isn't going to last forever. If it was your best friend who was feeling depressed or anxious, you'd tell her it's okay. You'd tell her you love her and accept her however she is right now. So give yourself that same grace that you would give your best friend. And that is the number one thing that I would tell girls.
That is so powerful. I really love that. About, you know, staying in the present moment, like what are some good ways to do that? Because I think all of us, our mind wanders to the past and to the future a lot. So what do you think are some of the best ways you've found that you can really just stay in the present?
Yeah, that's such a good question. Thanks. So, like I said, I really like the aspect of getting into your physical body. I know a lot of people, when they think of staying in the present moment, they think of mindfulness, or sorry, they think of meditation. But there's kind of this like mystifying thing around meditation, right? Like, it's hard to do. I'm not going to be able to do it. I have to totally clear my thoughts. But it's really just about mindfulness. So it's about being where you're at and noticing where you're at, noticing what you're seeing, noticing what you're touching and you're feeling, noticing what you are smelling. And so for me, the first thing that I really learned how to be mindful was practicing yoga. And that doesn't mean that I'm good at it. It doesn't mean I'm this great yogi. I'm not at all. I'm not great at it at all, but I keep doing it, and I love doing it in a classroom setting or doing a video. So yeah, I know yoga moves now, and I could do it by myself, but it's not really about the yoga for me. It's about, like you said, trying to stay in the present moment. And the reason that that does that for me in a classroom setting or when I am watching a guided video is because it's really challenging for me. So it doesn't have to be yoga for you. It could just be something that is new, where someone is guiding you through it, but something where you have to pay really close attention, where your mind can't drift off. You're forcing it constantly to come back to the present moment. So for me, when I'm practicing yoga, I don't know what move is going to come next. So I'm taking myself to different classes all the time, right? So as soon as I get used to one, I got to go to a new class, because then I'm thinking ahead to the present. I'm in that anxiety mode of, okay, I know what the next move is going to be, so I'm going to just start doing it right before she does it. No, not helping anymore, right? So I've got to be at a new class where it's like, I don't know what the next move is going to be. And I've really got to focus on the alignment, the physical alignment of my body. Otherwise, I am going to literally fall over, right? So I have forced myself to be in a situation where I have to pay attention to the present. Because if I don't, I could face physical injury.
Right. And I love that it doesn't have to be yoga. Like, it can be like hiking or like, I don't know, any other kind of activity where you physically have to focus. And I think that's like an interesting concept that we don't really think about.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that being in the present is just about mindfulness and just forcing yourself to be aware of where you're at. And when you're doing unexpected or challenging things, that's going to naturally come up for you more than when you're in your usual routine.
Right. So another question I have for you, you talked about self-compassion. So how can we stop like judging ourselves all the time?
Oh my God.
You know, because it's like, I don't know. I feel like I'm always judging myself and comparing myself. And even if you're just comparing yourself to the past you, that's still like a way of judging yourself. So like, how do you go about that?
Yeah, that's such a good question, Ika. And it's something I definitely have struggled with myself. And like I said, with all of these things, it's not like you're going to snap your fingers and your depression and anxiety is going to go away. And I really want to clarify that first. All of these things are a practice. So it's just like how we call it a yoga practice. It's not I do yoga or I am yoga. It's I practice yoga, because you're going to fall off. And that's okay. And when you can accept that you're going to fall off, it makes it easier to try almost. So to get back to your question specifically, though, one practice that I do for myself to help with self-love and compassion is picturing myself as I was when I was little. So I actually will just say, okay, I'm talking to little girl Neely. And it sounds kind of silly to say it out loud, but I swear it works. So when I'm saying really nasty things to myself, I do my best to stop myself in my tracks and say, whoa, whoa, whoa. Would you say that to little girl Neely? Like, no way in hell I would say that to little girl Neely. She can't handle that. That's so mean. That's so cruel. I would never put her through that. And would I expect her to be great at this thing that she doesn't know how to do? No. You know, would I have these other unrealistic expectations of her? No. She doesn't know how to do that, right? Like, well, why did little girl Neely maybe mess up? Well, she's a little kid, so she's probably scared, right? And reminding myself that whatever bad thoughts I'm having are coming from a place of fear, and looking at myself as that child and saying, that child is just afraid, and you beating her up with your words is not making her feel better. It's not making her feel less afraid. What is going to make her feel less afraid? It's giving her love and compassion and grace and saying kind things to her. And so I honestly pretend that I am talking to myself and I say, what would you say to little girl Neely? And talk to her right now like you would talk to her. And it works.
That's amazing. I love that so much.
Yeah,
I will definitely try that. I will definitely try that. And it's like seeing others too with that same level of love, of like kindness that you would to a child. I think like Gabby Bernstein talks about that in her Judgment Detox book too. It's like just see people in their innocence, and it's like see yourself in your own innocence too. So
absolutely. Yeah, I love that you brought Gabby up. She's one of my go-to girls, so I'm definitely all about her practices as well.
That's awesome. All right. Our last question is, what advice would you give your younger self? So I guess this kind of flows from the past conversation we were just having, but yeah, go ahead.
For sure. Well, yeah, like I said, I was just in such this dark place, feeling like there was something wrong with me and like I was never going to get out of it. So I really think if I could go back, I would tell my college self first and foremost that there's nothing wrong with you. I would say there's nothing wrong with you. You are perfect as you are. This is the way that you are meant to be, and it's okay. And then I would say you can change your reality if you choose to accept where you are right now in these cards that you have been given. And I would tell myself that someday you're going to see this pain as a gift.
Beautiful. Nice and concise.
Thank you.
Awesome. So if people want to connect with you and learn more about you, where can they find you?
Yeah, they can find me on Instagram at Neely O'Connor, and they can also find me on my website, which is just www.neelyoconnor.com, and they can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/Neely O'Connor. I also have a free Facebook group on there. I've got free resources on my website, free tools to master your anxiety and depression on the daily. So definitely check me out in all of those spaces if you're interested in that.
Awesome. Thank you again so much for coming on. I think this has been such a useful episode, and thank you so much for sharing.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for having me. I really had fun.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Young and Ambitious podcast. If you enjoyed it, please consider leaving us a review on iTunes. It really helps us get this out there and impacting more lives. Now, make sure to also take a screenshot and tag at Neetha Moini and at The Positivity Boss on your podcast. And make sure to join the Young Bosses Collective Facebook group, where we have a community of young, ambitious people all supporting each other. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I will see you next time. Bye.